Avas's take on New Zealand's education sector and how the future of learning looks.
So we're coming up to the election and there's a lot of promises coming out from the political parties. So we're just going to focus on that kind of overview today of how New Zealand's education is performing. So is New Zealand doing a good job of educating our population?
Well, I think New Zealand has had a reputation for being right out there in terms of how we work with our young people and our education system. But I think a couple of things have happened in recent years. We've had the ongoing international comparisons, which are obviously taken lots of notice of by politicians and others, showing that we've got an increasing number of people in what they call the long tail. So while the majority of our young people have been well catered for and are right at the front end of a world-class education system, we've got an increasing number in this that are trailing off right to the very low levels of achievement. More concerning is that in recent years, as in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a really concerted effort to try and target those young people and to address their need. But that has, according to the very latest PISA results, resulted in an overall decrease in our achievement. Our achievements have actually been shown to be just dropping somewhat across the board on an average, although the kids represented in that very needy group, the very low-end group, have shown very slight levels of improvement.
Is it kind of a telling sign of the wider kind of things they're going under? So it's more less about the education they're getting and more about the environment they're in, or is it still the education?
Well, I think you've put your finger right on what is a very key issue, and at times like this leading up to elections, it's very easy to lose sight of that because we become very atomised. We focus on education, or we focus on health, or we focus on housing, without actually fully appreciating and understanding that those things are all very connected in a way, because the kids in our schools go home to houses that may or may not be providing them with the warmth and security and protection they need. They may or may not be going and eating the food that they require to sustain their bodies and their growth. They may or may not be being brought up or cared for in a loving and nurturing kind of home environment. The combination of all those things and other factors as well are what goes towards watching our young people grow and develop in the way that we'd hope for.
And I was wondering, essentially, like, to my knowledge, kind of schools haven't really changed a lot compared to other sectors in the world. So if we think about or compare it to things like the industrialization of like manufacturing, healthcare, transport, we haven't really seen like this intense change in the entire industry and how it's done. So are we looking at having a transformation in education with the things like new schools and online learning and things?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, we are overdue for a transformation in our education system. You mentioned the industrialized approach that other industries have grown from and emerged from. I mean, the education system as we know it, our current schooling system, was actually only emerged from the same change in society as factories were beginning to flourish and take over from the previously consistent agrarian approaches, people working on the land and on farms and things and moving to factories. Schools were a response to that because they figured we needed young people or people moving from the land into factories to be more literate and numerate in order to be able to sustain their involvement there. And the model that they chose to do that was actually the factory model that they were setting up to produce these other goods and services. So our whole move towards having age-based classes, moving from egg crate classroom to egg crate classroom and being tested at the end of each time and all sort of thing, models what early factories were like. And so as you've noted, as our factories and our industries have evolved and moved well beyond that process-driven view of how things operated, our schools have been much slower to respond.
And so what is the future of education? Like, where do we see education going? Is in a lot of e-learning and things like that growing? Like, I'm at university, but I'm also doing courses online for free at Coursera, and I've just got my mum who's in her 60s. She's doing all these music therapy courses online just for fun. And so are things like e-learning, are they going to take over learning, or are they going to complement traditional learning models?
Well, I think complementary is probably the way to think about these things, because the way I think about it is to look at what actually is the purpose and the nature of schools in the modern environment. And if you think about a lot of what you've just described from your own experience of doing Coursera courses or looking something up to meet the need and requirement as you have it, it kind of highlights where we're at, where our previous thinking about schools and our education system right through to universities could be summarised very much as one of those just in case. Here's a whole lot of stuff that we feel you need just in case you're going to need it in your future. Now that was probably something that served us reasonably well when the body of what was known, human knowledge at the time, was a relatively limited thing, and there you could fairly confidently say, well, here's a whole lot of stuff that if you learn it now, you are going to need it into your future. But that's definitely not the case as we look forward. And the move now, and you have exemplified it in what you said, is very much more to learning that is just in time. As I need it, then I will involve myself in learning about it. And that might involve me learning with other people to learn about it. It might involve me learning towards some sort of formal accreditation, or it might involve me in doing something that's much less formal and just meets the need as it is. And so I think online learning and the recognition of the way in which we can get access to information, to knowledge, and to other people who can help support and mentor us through that in the online environment definitely will be a part of it, our education.
Yeah, it's got me thinking as well, if you've tried on things like VR, you could easily see yourself, you know, sitting in a lecture theatre, but instead you're at home with a VR set on, and then you think, you wouldn't need these giant universities and things like that. You could have a recorded lecturer, and then the kind of cost would come down. Democratization of education could be just right around the corner.
I think you've just got a word there. The democratization of our education system mirrors the global democratization of a lot of things. If you think about people not standing for the increased gap between rich and poor anymore, you know, that we've got movements now looking at how we eat and the concerns about caged animals and these sorts of things. They are all an impact of democratisation that comes around because of that spread of knowledge, the access to knowledge, which enables people to be more informed and have a more informed view. Notwithstanding that, though, it can also work the other way around, where it can whip people up into a frenzy. It can be responsible for the dissemination of, as our friend in America calls them, false facts or false knowledge. And so for me, whilst I'm pretty keen on the exploring and understanding the role that different technologies and things might play, it really is much more fundamental than that. It's understanding at its very heart what it is that we're trying to achieve, and what we understand by learning and by the evolution and development of new knowledge, which contributes to the way that we live as a society.
Yeah, so starting from the ground up, kind of what we need as people going forward.
I think so.
And so just finally, just with the next government kind of coming in a month or so, what does the next New Zealand government need to do to make sure we have the education to succeed going into this very technological world?
Well, that's a good question, and I think we're seeing in government policies at the moment, or at least in the political parties' policies at the moment, the usual sorts of things that try and attract us to them. So on the one hand, we've got a strong lobby for changing our education system to ensure that our young people have the skills and knowledge to equip them to live and thrive in an increasingly digital and technological world. And there's no doubt that in a little country like New Zealand, we're going to have to lift our game so that we are operating well in that sort of world, particularly as we think of our reliance on a lot of our land-based industries and those sorts of things that incur a lot of cost simply through the transportation of goods and services.
Producer Jack went around Auckland and talked to members of the public and asked them about their views of education in New Zealand. He wanted to know what they were doing, what New Zealand government is doing, and if people think that's enough for students across the board.
So how's New Zealand education doing?
I think it's quality education, I'll say that for sure, especially at university, but it should be free.
Yeah.
Education should be free.
And
should be budgeting for that.
Do you think
any party in particular is kind of going for it. Like Labour's said they're going to do free education.
Yeah, so Labour would be going for it, wouldn't they?
I think there's obviously a student debt problem, which you guys probably feel quite severely. So on that side, I think it's, although I think the education is very good, with it comes an inevitable debt problem. I'm not sure that it's hugely different from many countries in the world where people do graduate and have
a mortgage.
I'd say it's pretty good as long as you're in like the right areas. I don't know, like schools out in the WOPs are questionable at best. So I spoke to someone who dropped out when he was 12 just yesterday.
Oh shit.
So yeah, it's, I don't know, all the education like out wherever, like miles away from Auckland, is pretty questionable, I'd say.
Yeah.
But in Auckland, I'd say it's a pretty good standard.
Yeah.
But in general, I think like the question should be like what university degree is and what it gives you. I think it's more maybe 5 or 10 years ago, like everyone had to get a degree, like to get somewhere. Whereas now I think employees and bigger companies are looking more at what you can contribute as a person rather than just like having some numbers on the paper that says that yes, you have a degree.
Well, I'm no expert. You know, I look at the ratings of the universities and I think, you know, for a small country of 4 million people, we punch above our weight from a university point of view. I think, what have we got? 3 in the top 100 or something?
Yeah, which is,
you know, which is pretty good. Yeah. You know, what, National Launch yesterday was interesting. You know, I think languages are important. Tireo, I think, I'm not sure what party supports that, but I think that was the Greens and Labour.
Yeah, and do you feel like all the parties really care about education? Is it in their forefront, or is it kind of, you know, the thing we have to do?
I'm not always convinced that when they say things that it is because it is in their forefront. I think they say things because they see a potential pool of voters, and it's very easy to make a statement that will potentially swing people your way.
I'm not sure that a free tertiary education is affordable.
Mm. Did you have a free education?
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I did.
Of course.
But that was in the Halcyon days.
I know, my dad got paid to go to university.
Yeah, exactly.
Around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
That was the views of some members of the general public on education, on our education system. If you have anything you'd like to add throughout the show, give us a text on 5395 and also give us a text about your thoughts on education in New Zealand. Are you happy with the state of it or do you think it needs some work? We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can also go to our Twitter page at 95BFM News to vote in our education poll. What is the most important issue for you this election?
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
So this week on The Wire we are focusing indeed on education, starting today with a general overview of the sector here in New Zealand. This election, issues such as national standards, charter schools and te reo in schools have generated a lot of attention. Given this, earlier I spoke to the New Zealand Council of Education researchers Kathy Wiley about the state of the education system, where it is at currently and where it is heading. What do you make of the current state of the education system? Do you think it's in a healthy state?
We've got actually a far better system than people sometimes realise, and when we look on the international stage, what I see is a system which has got lots of strengths about it, but it does need a bit more support and coherence to it. We've got an education system that's slowly changing from one that was you know, suitable for the 20th century, and it's now you know, people are really wanting to work on the things that are going to be stand us in good stead for, you know, what is a very you know, demanding set of circumstances ahead of us. So I think you know, there's all sorts of things going on. Lots of energy being put into things.
My following question to that would be, what do you see working at the moment?
Oh, that's such a huge question. What's working well at the moment is we have a very the New Zealand curriculum, which came in 2010, is a really fantastic document that other people who come to New Zealand envy, because what it did was put together knowledge areas, which, if you like, is 20th century, with thinking about what we needed, the skills and dispositions, particularly around critical thinking and problem solving and developing student agency. And for the first time, we actually included, what's good teaching inside this curriculum. And so it really has opened up the landscape, and people were very enthusiastic when it came out. So they've got a great framework there now that needs just a bit more support, and so that people aren't left to reinvent the wheel at every school and every classroom.
Could we be doing more to maximise student learning?
We could. This is what people are trying to do, making use of the New Zealand curriculum. And they want to go deeper, which is how you maximise it. And they've realised that students just aren't empty vessels that you try and pour some content into, and that they regurgitate. I mean, that's a very crude way of saying it. But actually thinking, how do we think of students that they take agency in their learning, they feel that they've got not just something to contribute, but that they actually have to be, have to know what their goals are, work towards those, have a better sense of their own strategies for good learning. So, people are aware that we could be going much deeper and richer than we've been able to do, and they'd like to do that.
Who do you think is being left behind in the education system?
We've got the groups that have been left behind are the ones that have been left behind for a long time now. So we've got Māori and Pacifica, kids from homes that are socially disadvantaged. We've got we've made a lot of progress that kids with additional learning needs that a generation ago people would have said, oh, we can't teach them, but actually people have learnt a great deal about how to reach kids who might be struggling and with some intellectual disabilities. But so those kids, it's really thinking about how do we there's been quite a lot of attention pay, we can see what the need is, and then it's back to, well, how do we keep improving our teaching and learning, and how do we make better partnerships with kids' homes? So that's another frontier that people in education are working on.
What do you think of quantifiable assessment schemes like national standards?
We've avoided some of the pitfalls that they have overseas, when they have, tests that everybody has to sit and they're exactly the same test. We've avoided that, and we've avoided some of the pitfalls that other countries have fallen into when they make teachers and schools accountable on the results of those standardised assessments. Because if you do that, you don't actually see any gains in the system overall. So we have got national standards which provide an overall picture of how students are doing, and we've got NCEA which provides that as well, but allows for different subject areas. So they'll give you a picture, but they're designed for the system level rather than what's actually going on in a kid's learning, that a teacher and a learner and the parents, if the information is shared, can be more attuned to.
How much importance do you place on digital learning to meet New Zealand's education priorities?
Digital technology is with us, and you've got to think, how do we make the best of this? And it's been interesting that it does take a lot of financial resource and a lot of time resource, and if you don't approach it and make them, if you just ask it to do whiz-bang things, you don't necessarily get the best bang for your buck or the best learning out of it. So there's been a lot of hard learning along the way about what is useful out of that technology and what isn't, and when to use it and when not. So I think it's, you can't not have it in schools and in teaching and learning now, but it's not the thing you should rely on to make a big system change.
Do you think teachers have enough support?
No, I don't. You know, we've had self-managing schools in New Zealand since 1989, and we've left teachers and principals and boards of trustees to, you know, in a way they've had to reinvent the wheel. And you know, the New Zealand curriculum I spoke about earlier, that's really so rich and powerful, but it does need better support from the Ministry of Education to provide guidelines and to provide ways that people can, you know, make it, put things together well for the particular students that they're working with. And it just needs, you know, just a bit more connection in our system.
Now, you've done research into the future of education in New Zealand. What do you see as the main priorities going forward?
Well, so NZCR has done research into the future. So I've got colleagues who, like Rachel Bolstead, who you couldn't talk to, but she's organising a conference this week on games for learning and how to make the best use of them, what kind of games are the best. But we in the NZCR, we do talk a lot about what does the future look like, and what we see is that you can't, you know, we don't know what the future is looking like. We know that we are, you know, that the students and teachers are going to be creating it, and that the best thing we can do is ensure that students leave school with a, you know, a range of knowledge and a motivation to keep learning and the skills to be able to do that well. So when I talked about the New Zealand curriculum, that is a future-focused curriculum, because it thinks at depth about what are the things that would enable people to do well and to work together well, and, you know, not just take things for granted and be very agile in a world that is changing incredibly rapidly.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.